to that breaking news and another escalation in tension between Israelis and Palestinians. Two Israeli settlers have been killed, another seriously injured in a shooting in the northeast of the occupied West Bank. This happened in Al-Hamra in the Jordan Valley region. Rasul Serdar is in occupied East Jerusalem. Rasul, what happened? What can you tell us at this stage?
Well, so far what we know is from the Israeli sources. According to the Israeli authorities, three Israeli women, the settlers, were shot in the Jordan Valley area. And one of the driver, the lady that was attacked, she lost the control of the car and hit another man. So this is a shooting attack according to the Israeli authorities. So two women are dead and one is critically injured for now. So initially the Israeli authorities were assessing this as a traffic accident. However, later they said that this is an attack conducted by an attacker. The identity of the attacker is not clear yet, but we know that the Israeli security forces have blocked the area and now they started a manhunt. They're conducting a manhunt to find the attacker. And also there are the reports that after losing the control of the car, the driver has run over another man, so that's also injured. But as of now, we know that two women are dead and the attacker is being searched by the Israeli security forces. So it is becoming tense again. So the initial reports today or the statements from the Israeli sides were showing the sign of de-escalation. However, this attack, and also right behind me, you can see that people are preparing for the Friday prayer. So thousands of people are already gathering here. This, the Al-Aqsa compound was the source of the tension that started on Wednesday. Now thousands of people are gathering there and getting ready to conduct the Friday prayer. And that also could escalate another tension here, because the Palestinians here are saying that if the Israeli security forces decide to arrest people here or attack to the prayers again, then this could lead to a wider conflict again. So the situation is quite fragile, quite tense here. However, the general expectation in the morning was that the Israeli authorities and the Palestinian factions are going to de-escalate. But as I said, this recent attack and now the behavior or the approach of the Israeli security forces after the prayer are going to show us what today is going to look like.
All right, Rasul, you're going to keep us apprised of developments and what's going on exactly where you are. All of this coming after this lethal violence, coming after violence in the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound, Islam's third holiest site. Israeli forces used batons on Palestinian worshippers arriving for morning prayers on Friday. And soon after, hundreds of people gathered in the compound to protest against Israel's actions. We are joined by Mustafa Barghouti. You're the Secretary General of the Palestinian National Initiative. You join us from Ramallah. You heard what Rasul Serdar was reporting on, a lethal shooting attack near Al-Hamra. Your reaction to that, sir?
It's one of the side effects or the results of what the Israeli army did in Al-Aqsa Mosque. They have provoked the feelings of all Palestinians and all Arabs and all Muslims. And today they are even making more restrictions, not only for Muslims, but also for Christians who are trying to celebrate the
We just lost the audio there. We will go back to Mr. Barghouti as soon as we can. I believe we are able to reconnect. Mr. Barghouti, can you hear me?
Hello? Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, we lost your audio there for a second. You were interrupted mid-answer. Carry on, please, sir.
Okay, what I was saying that is what we see today is the result of the Israeli army behavior inside the Al-Aqsa Mosque. They brutally beat people. They arrested 400 people while they were worshiping. If this has happened inside a mosque, inside a synagogue, what would have been the world reaction? They have provoked the feelings of all Palestinians, Muslims, and Arabs, but they also are provoking the feelings of Christians today when they are trying to prevent them from celebrating Easter in Jerusalem if they were Palestinians. This is a situation that is a result of a long-term occupation, the longest in modern history, and a system of discriminatory apartheid and racism.
But sir, let me jump in for a second. Are you suggesting that killing settlers is an appropriate response?
No, I'm not saying, I am not an advocate of violence, you know me well. But I am saying that violence is a symptom of the disease. And the disease has been the long occupation of Palestinian land. The disease has been the system of apartheid and oppression. And the fact that the Israeli people have chosen a government that has fascists in it, like Ben-Gvir and Smotrich, these guys are saying bluntly that they are fascists. They are saying that the Palestinians have to leave or die or accept a life of subjugation to the Israeli oppression. This is the cause of the problem. And let me remind you that the Israeli army killed 96 Palestinians since the beginning of this year, including 17 children and one old woman. This is what we see today is a reaction to the Israeli government behavior.
So the last 3 days have seen tensions spike over who can access Al-Aqsa Mosque, when and for how long. Is there a fix to this? And I mean this immediate problem.
There is no fix unless Israel allows us to reach the city of Jerusalem. We don't want to visit Israel. We want to be in East Jerusalem, which is occupied. It's part of the occupied West Bank. But they are not allowing more than 95% of the Palestinians to reach there. Only people who live in Jerusalem or people who live inside Israel can go there. But the rest of us are prevented. I lived for 15 years in Jerusalem working as a medical doctor. I was born in East Jerusalem, and I am prevented from reaching Jerusalem since 2005. If I want to go, I tried to get to the Al-Aqsa Mosque 2 weeks ago. They told me to go back, like most people. And then if I wanted to go, I have to sneak in. This is the only way. The reality is that the vast majority of Palestinian Muslims and Christians are not allowed to reach the holy places, are not allowed to worship peacefully inside Jerusalem in the Al-Aqsa Mosque or Holy Sepulchre Church. That is the reality. And even when they say that they allow people above the age of 55 to cross, many are turned back, claiming that they represent a security threat.
So at this moment in time, in light of the clashes that we've seen this week at Al-Aqsa Mosque, in light also of this latest development, the killing of two Jewish settlers, what is your message to Israelis on the one hand and Palestinians on the other?
My message is that the road to peace is easy and simple. It starts with ending the illegal Israeli occupation of Palestinian land. It starts with accepting us as equal human beings. It starts with an Israeli decision to eliminate the system of apartheid and oppression of the Palestinian people. No colonial system has ever lasted. And if some Israelis think that Palestinians will accept a life of subjugation to their oppression and enslavement in a system of apartheid, they are wrong and mistaken. The road to peace is simple. They should end occupation, end settlement activities, end the system of apartheid, allow Palestinian refugees to come back home to the land they have been deprived from reaching for so many years, and then we can have peace. Nothing from what we say is against Israeli or Jewish people as people, but we are struggling against occupation, against apartheid, against fascists like Smotrich and Ben-Gvir, who are also trying to destroy even the Israeli judiciary system. And I think many Israelis now realize that these fascists who are in the government now in Israel are the result of this long-term occupation and a system of apartheid that produced eventually fascism in Israel.
Mustafa Barghouti, Secretary General of the Palestinian National Initiative, thank you for joining us on the program.
Thank you so much.
Now, the attack in the occupied West Bank comes after a series of airstrikes carried out by the Israeli military in Gaza. Israel's military says it hit sites belonging to Hamas. That's after its Iron Dome defense system intercepted several rockets fired from the Strip. Well, let's go to Gaza now. Yumna Sayed is standing by. Bring us up to speed on what happened overnight in the early morning hours, Yumna.
Yes. So since last night, Israeli warplanes pounded the Gaza Strip in different areas at the same time, bombarding more than 10 targets and almost all the evacuated military camps belonging to Hamas, in addition to agriculture lands. No casualties were reported. The Ministry of Health did say that Dura Children's Hospital was partially damaged due to the intense targeting around the area of where the hospital is. Also, a residential home was severely damaged because of the targeting of agriculture lands next to that home. Barrages of rockets were launched from the Gaza Strip towards Israeli towns, and anti-aircrafts were also fired on the Israeli drones and crafts.
All right, Yumna Sayed reporting from Gaza. Thank you very much. And Israel has also launched airstrikes into parts of southern Lebanon and claims to have also hit Hamas targets there. The military says it's retaliation for rockets fired into Israel on Thursday, while local witnesses say the missiles hit an open area near a Palestinian refugee camp. Zeina Khoder is in southern Lebanon in Tyre. Show us the scene where you are and what you've seen.
Well, yes, we are at one of the sites that was targeted by Israeli planes overnight, approximately 4 a.m. We are not allowed to, you know, move any further because the Lebanese army is now investigating the area. There's a big crater here, and it's an open field. It's one of, like I mentioned, 4 targets. Now, the Israeli army said it targeted positions belonging to the Palestinian group Hamas in southern Lebanon. Israel is blaming the Palestinian group for launching the barrage of rockets into northern Israel late on Thursday, even though there has been no claim of responsibility. It was a serious escalation, one of the most serious escalations along the border since the 2006 war between Israel and Hezbollah. But it's clear Israel's response was limited and measured. And according to the United Nations peacekeeping force, they have been in contact with the different parties on the ground. Neither Lebanon nor Israel wants war. So tensions have been diffused. This round of hostilities is over, but this is clearly a political message. And that message is, if Israel continues to launch attacks against Palestinians, attack worshippers, then Palestinian groups have supporters across the region, the so-called axis of resistance, who will open other fronts.
Zeina, unsurprisingly, the Lebanese government not best pleased that its territory has been targeted by Israel. The foreign ministry is now saying that it's going to file a complaint with the UN Security Council. Tell us more about that.
Yes, usually the Lebanese foreign ministry files complaints at the UN Security Council whenever there's an Israeli airstrike or if Israeli planes violate Lebanese airspace. More often than not, nothing changes and nothing happens. As you can see behind me, the UN peacekeepers have now also arrived at the scene to carry out investigations because the Lebanese army, as well as the United Nations, have still not pointed the blame at any party. Yes, the Lebanese government is concerned. It doesn't want an escalation. The Lebanese government is hoping that tensions will be refused. This is a cash-strapped state, nearly bankrupt. It cannot afford another war. But neither can Hezbollah. Yes, security sources say that Palestinian groups are most likely behind this operation, the launching of rockets yesterday, but they wouldn't have done it without the support and approval of Hezbollah. And Hezbollah, too, doesn't want any adventures at this point in time because, of course, it will be blamed. Many people here cannot afford to put food on the table. And that's why many analysts believe that the best card to use right now when sending a political message is through the Palestinians.
Zeina Khoder reporting from southern Lebanon. Thank you very much.